Good morning. Our Bible lesson today is found in Acts 8 in the Pew Bible, and in the large print Bible it's on page 154 in the New Testament. Yeah, Acts is in the New Testament. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went, and now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was turning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the Spirit that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. We can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with his scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop. And both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found him at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. And our Bible lesson is found, responsive reading is found in the hymnal on page 753. It's a good thing I can read because I haven't got the right page. And we're going to read Psalms 22, 25 through 31. "Now comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who worship the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all families of the nations shall worship before the Lord. For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. All who sleep in the earth shall bow down to the Lord. All who go down to the dust shall bow before the Lord, and I shall live for the Lord. Prosperity shall serve the Lord. Each generation should tell of the Lord, and proclaim his delivery to a people yet unborn. Surely the Lord has done it." The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it on page 226, the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 292 in the larger print edition. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Bob Ferguson asked me, he said, every time he walks over, when I walk over to greet him, he stands up. And he says, because you're always making us stand up and sit down. Well, I'm going to give you this opportunity now to stand up for the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel this week from the gospel of John, according verses 1 through 8. It is in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 103. And if you're in the large print edition, it's on page 133. So hear these words literally from our Savior's mouth. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Go deep and go wide. That's the simple lesson from a grapevine. Go deep and go wide. That's the call of Jesus Christ. This is another one of those amazing metaphors that Jesus uses to get us to think deeply about our relationship with God and about our life in this world. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. The people who heard Jesus speak and the people who originally read or heard John's gospel were likely quite familiar with grapevines and vineyards, so that for them, Jesus' metaphor was immediately insightful. Perhaps it is not so for us in the 21st century. It may help to better understand and appreciate this metaphor if we know a bit more about how a grapevine grows. Some of you may well be familiar with grapevines in California or western Colorado, or perhaps other places you've lived or traveled. Well, for me, I had to do a bit of poking around on the internet to learn some more myself. It turns out that a grapevine is a hardy, woody plant with a very deep root system, sometimes 20 feet deep. As it grows and develops over time, the vine grower or vintner will train the vine to grow up and along a wire trellis or an arbor. Grapevines are pruned regularly in order to allow the plants to focus more of its energy into making good fruit, that is, sweet, juicy grapes. But it's not unusual for the vine grower to prune 90% of the branches in 1 year to spur grape production. Grapevines reproduce through cuttings. You cut them off and literally jam them in the soil, through grafting of branches onto the existing vine, or by a process called layering, where they bend a branch down into the soil, allow it to grow an independent root system before the new plant is cut away from the older vine. So maybe that's some good information as a background understanding. In this reading, Jesus presents us a valuable and multi-layered metaphor. Through his instruction, Jesus tells us to go deep and go wide. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Simply put, Jesus is telling us to go deep, that is, to abide completely in him. And he's telling us to go wide, that is, to bear much fruit and share the gospel of Jesus Christ out in the world. As a grapevine grows deep in the soil, bringing nutrients and water and life to the branches, so too does Jesus provide life and meaning to us, his followers. Jesus tells you to abide in him as he abides in you. You are to be deeply and intimately connected with Christ. What does that really mean? Well, John gives us some idea of the meaning that Daniel read. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Well, the next obvious question is this: how do you create the conditions by which you might abide more completely in Jesus Christ? You do that through the practice of spiritual disciplines. John Wesley, a name you've heard, the founder of the Methodist movement, called these disciplines the means of grace, or ordinances of God. Wesley advised us to attend regularly to these actions, corporate worship of God, the ministry of the Word, that is, Holy Scripture, either read or expounded, explained, Holy Communion, family and private prayer, Bible reading and study, and finally, fasting or abstinence. By following these spiritual disciplines on a regular basis, a daily basis, you can draw closer to Christ and abide more completely in him as he commands. Okay, so that's the go deep part, but what does it mean to go wide? To go wide means that just like the branches of the grapevine spread out along the trellis and bear lots of fruit, you are to go out into the world, often beyond your comfort zone, in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to share God's love in real and tangible ways. What does that look like? To be fruitful looks like the wonderful story from Acts, describing Philip and his encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. Go back and read that story again sometime soon. If you read Scripture, you'll discover that Philip certainly was an enthusiastic evangelist, but clearly he had not planned a trip that day. And an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. When Philip found himself out in the boondocks on a wilderness road, and he heard this Ethiopian reading Isaiah in his chariot, Philip didn't know what to make of it. So the Spirit spoke to Philip and said, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And you heard the rest of that story. The point of this teaching is that in order to go wide, as Jesus commands you to do, in order to share your personal testimony of the power of Jesus Christ in your life, in order to share God's love in real and tangible ways, you will likely have to go beyond where you are most comfortable. As the angel of the Lord and the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip, you will need to be attentive to God's prompting and to go where you are instructed and inspired by the Spirit to go. As you consider your response to Jesus' teaching to go deep and go wide, you'll need to recognize that God, the vine grower, must make sure that each of us is truly focused and fruitful because God loves us that much. As Jesus instructs, He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes to make it bear more fruit. Pruning is a necessary element of discipleship, just as are the means of grace. God will remove anything from us that hinders our production of fruit, like temptation and sin and worldliness. Clearly, we benefit from God's pruning of our lives, as difficult as that may well be. My sisters and brothers, this beautiful metaphor from Jesus is instructive and challenging and exciting. We need to listen, to hear, and to respond to God's grace. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Go deep and go wide. Amen.